Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economic show entitled Money Matters. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show.
And welcome to another edition of Your Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for joining me today. Before we begin, please remember discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I'm an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Views expressed are my opinions only, or the opinions of any guests I might have on the show today, and that is applicable. We do have some guests. The opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge. The station and staff members are underwriters. 258th edition of Money Matters today, called What's Up? Teen Wellness Checkups. And remember, we always start by saying Money Matters is about money. As money does matter, the matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. So, before our guests come into the studio today, I'd like to give you an update on the markets. Dow down 30, NASDAQ down 21. Crude oil is just about flat, around $50 a barrel. And as always, every show, we always mention that these large numbers, 22,382, the large number above it is 23,000. And although there are many technical resistance and support points, 23,000 would be a resistance point, a large one, and 22,000 below would be a support level. So we did blow back up through 22,000, so we're sitting at around, a third of the way to 23,000, so we'll see what happens. We did have a little bit of a correction about 6 or 7 weeks ago, but hard to tell what's going to happen now. So I guess you'll just have to stay tuned to the show. And so, yeah, a lot of times we have a guest that come in, and we have a series called Investing in Community, because it's not all about investing in your money, right? It's about investing in the things that go around you and the things that we live in the community around you. And today we're going to have a Investing in Community series today. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute. We'll be back in a little bit just to take a listen to our guests and talk about a real cool program that I was made aware of that I want to make you aware of. So you're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We will be back in a second.
Corporate dance, and I'll be dirty, right, filthy, sick, rich.
Welcome back to Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for joining me today. Show 258, What's Up Teen Wellness. So, yeah, occasionally we have, it's important to invest in our community around us. And we love to have people on here that are doing things for our community, because doing things for our community strengthens our community. And I can't think of a better way to strengthen our community than to strengthen the young people in it and protect them. So today we have, from the What's Up Wellness Checkups, two ladies that have joined me today in the studio, Shelley Sepko, Program Director, and Jen Ree Winders, a Community Resource Coordinator from the Wellness What's Up Wellness Checkups. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ooh, in unison. I like it.
We rehearsed that.
Yeah, right. Did you sing in harmony?
Later.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show today. You guys do some great work, and I wanted to enlighten our listeners as to what you do and what the program is. So tell us a little bit about What's Up Wellness Checkups, when it was established, and basically kind of what you do.
Great. Thanks, Mark. So What's Up Wellness Checkups is a suicide prevention program for teens. The program offers emotional health checkups for our teens in the Nevada County High Schools. It's a checkup that asks teens questions about their emotional health, their stresses, their relationships, home life, school issues. We also provide in-school groups that are free for students. We offer mindfulness, stress reduction, expressive arts, and boys groups, all to help empower and strengthen the emotional health of teens.
So give me a little bit about the history of the program. How did it start? Who started it? When did it start?
Well, unfortunately, in 2010, there was a series of teen and young adult suicides throughout our county. So that really brought to everyone's awareness the need for prevention efforts in our community. We have a local suicide prevention task force, which was meeting back then as well. And that, in partnership with the Nevada County Behavioral Health Department, found an evidence-based program that was developed by Columbia University called Teen Screen. So the task force and the county agreed on this with the support of community members, and then the county contracted with What's Up Wellness Checkups to implement it and adapt it to our rural community's needs.
So when you target a specific group, who does it cover, who gets the checkups, and do you look for a certain type of teen, or is this a blanket program that covers all teens?
Yes, it's actually for all teens, but we do offer the checkups to all incoming ninth graders in three high school districts. The parent consent forms are included in enrollment packets for incoming ninth graders. We're in the NJUHSD district, the TTUSD, that's Tahoe Truckee Unified School District, and we're also in Sale. So the parent consent forms are included in the enrollment packets and integrated into some of the classes. But it's a universal screening, so there's no particular teen that's targeted. It's really for all high school students, and we, really present it like it's like a vision or hearing checkup. It's for every teen if they want one, and if their parents say it's okay.
So when you say all ninth graders, are we talking about public schools and private schools?
Public schools. So like all the high schools that are in those districts, the NJUHSD district, that includes Nevada Union, Silver Springs High School, North Point, Godote, who am I missing?
Bear River
High Schools.
When the ninth graders come in, then how is that initiated? Are they all handed a packet like in the first period, first day, or how do you get in contact with them initially?
So what we do is we call students in. So if we have a parent that says yes, and we have a consent form from the parent that they filled out in the enrollment packet, the student comes in. We call them out of class because the checkups take place during the school day. And so the students come in. We tell them about the checkup. They decide if they want to do it. It's totally voluntary for them. If they want to do it, then they get on a computer for about 15 minutes, and then they answer questions about their emotional health on the computer. Mm-hmm. When they are done, they meet with one of us privately to go over a summary of their answers. And at that point, we talk to them about their coping skills, their stress. We offer resources and supports if needed. And if they do want some extra support, we then call parents and offer our support in accessing resources in the community. We also provide follow-up to make sure families are getting what they need once we do make that referral to some resource.
So I'm a ninth grader. I go into school, high school for the first time, which is stressful, obviously. And then they're told about the program. So they have to basically come to you and say, yes, I'm interested. Otherwise, you pass them by.
Well, when we have the parents say yes in the on their consent form that's included in the enrollment packet, mm-hmm. we call them in and then we talk to them. We say, you know, this is what we're doing. We tell them about the screening. You know, we talk to them about confidentiality and all of our parameters around that. And then at that point, they decide if they want to do that. And mostly they say yes. It's very rare that students will actually say no. But getting that their assent is super important for the program for the program to actually work, because if they're saying yes and they're agreeing to it, that means that they'll most likely be honest and forthcoming about what's going on with them.
Sure. So it's the parents that first say it's okay.
Yes.
And then how are the kids presented? If the parents get an enrollment package, how then do you go to the child and say, your parents said we could do this? Do you go to the class and make a general presentation?
No, we actually call students in. So we have their forms, the parent consent form, and then we call students in out of class. So we see if they have time to talk to us about it. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, we just individually call students in to see if they would like to do it.
So they're yanked right out of class?
Yes.
But there's quite a bit of support from the staff, the teachers, the administration at all the schools that we're at. So the teachers are aware of the important connection between mental health and student success. So they really are supportive of the program. They are happy to send the kids out usually, unless they're of course in the middle of a test, and then we don't force the issue.
Sure. We're talking to Shelley Sepko, a program director, and Jen Ree Winders, a community resource coordinator for the What's Up Wellness Checkups. So the child is called in, and do you find that some children, although the parents have consented, some children say, I'm not interested?
Yes. So sometimes students will say no, but it's rare. It's actually pretty rare. Mm-hmm. I think most students are grateful to have an opportunity to talk about deeper issues with adults that are primarily there for that. We have a really high success rate around students assenting and saying yes.
So the test is just basically on the computer, 10 questions?
It could be about 100 questions.
Oh, okay, oh, yeah. Okay.
And we don't like to call it a test because there's no right or wrong answers.
Examination, what would you call it?
It's a screen or a checkup. So we're trying to normalize that sort of process for the kids. So it's just an emotional health checkup.
So then they fill out these 100 answers, and then you review them, and then you ask them back, or you review them right on the spot, or...
We get a summary. So mm-hmm. at the end of their checkup on the computer, we look at the summary of their screening, and then we just have like a general, general summary that the software program provides us. And all this was developed by Columbia University in mm-hmm. New York. And it's a great program. It's evidence-based. But so basically we get that summary, and then we meet individually with the student, and we go over a summary of their screen. So just the main things that came up. We talk with the student about that and see if they could use some support, if they already have some support, if they're doing okay or not doing okay. And we just want to make sure that they're getting what they need.
Now, it's only a public schools. What about the private schools? How is that initiated, or do you even go there?
Well, we are at SAIL, so we are at one of the charter schools. Mm-hmm. Our hope is in the future, if we can increase our funding sources, that we can expand actually to more of the charter high schools, and also perhaps to the junior high schools.
I see.
And middle schools.
And so there's no cost to the parents?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. And when a child comes in and fills out these questionnaires, I guess there's all degrees of stress in children, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know when somebody's extremely stressed or this one's okay? Basically, when they've filled out the answers, do you say, you have any questions, or do you say, we have some concerns here? How do you do that? I would imagine fairly gently.
Yeah, definitely gently. And, because we're all, most people have stress, right? So mm-hmm. really it is a matter of looking at their support systems. Like, do they have support system, like people that they can go to for the stresses that they have? Or do they have coping skills when they are stressed out or really struggling with some symptoms? Do they do they have a way of getting through that that is okay? Is there, you know, are their grades okay? Are there, you know, are they having problems in their relationships with their parents or their family members or their friends? You know, so we look at the student as like holistically, you know, even mm-hmm. like they're eating and they're sleeping. And then, you know, we just, you know, we're clinically trained. And so we, you know, we have a sense maybe like where they could use some support. And then we talk to the students about that and see if they would like that, if they're open to it. And then at that point, we'll call parents and talk to the parents about that as well.
Okay. We're speaking to Shelley Sepko, a program director, and Jen Ree Winders, community resource coordinator for the What's Up Wellness Checkups. We're going to take a break. If you'd like to call and speak to either of these two ladies, our number is 530-265-9555, 530-265-9555. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We'll be right back.
Cause I'm working for a living. Hey, I'm not complaining cause I really need to work. But hitting up my buddies got me feeling like a jerk. $100 car note, $200 red. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Working for a living. Cause I'm working for a living.
And you're tuned to KVMR, FM, and other community radio stations if to rebroadcast. So the show is carried on multiple stations throughout the U.S. If you're listening live, it's 12:28 p.m., September 21st. And if you're listening at another time, the information we have here is, of course, applicable everywhere, as we have teens everywhere. And I think we're all aware of the, you know, the issues. We are all teens once. It's a difficult time, and, of course, with everything going on in the world, it's probably even more stressful. So we are speaking to Shelley Sepko, Program Director, and Jen Ree Winders, Community Resource Coordinator of the What's Up Wellness Checkups. They do checkups for teens that may be at risk or may be under a little bit more stress and try to get the handle on if teens are having problems in school. I think ninth grade, Shelley and Jen, ninth grade is probably the right time to do it as you're going into high school. I mean, that's a tough time for people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So ninth grade is really, you know, it's a transitional year for a lot of students, an increase in stress. And we focus primarily on that group, not just for that reason, but because nationally statistics show that eighth graders actually have the highest rate of suicidal ideation.
Eighth graders.
And 10th graders have the highest rate of suicide completion.
Okay.
So we want to really catch kids in those early years. We are a prevention program, so that's our goal.
So you're funded by who?
And we are, funding is funneled through Nevada County Behavioral Health, mm-hmm. and the funding itself comes from a grant that's known as the Robin Hood Tax, mm-hmm. which is actually the Mental Health Services Act, and millionaires get taxed 1% of their income, mm-hmm. and that goes to community mental health services throughout the county, so we're one of those grantees.
Now, do you take community support in its various forms and also volunteers? Are you actively searching that out?
Yeah, absolutely. We always love community support. We appreciate volunteers that can support us in, you know, the screening itself or in fundraising efforts or just in regular administrative tasks. So we appreciate that.
Okay. And for those listeners that may have to break away mid-show, can you give me some contact information and then we'll talk a little bit more about the program?
Sure. We have a website, which is www.whatsupwellness.com. Also, our phone number is 530-268-5854.
5854. Okay, good. So you take volunteers. You're always looking for support from the community. How many locally here are in this particular program? Is that basically all you do? Do you have other jobs as well?
Yeah, we're both part-time, and I also contract through Public Health Prevention Department.
Okay. And what about you, Shelley?
This is my gig. This is what I'm doing.
Okay.
But yeah, so basically we're in our sixth year with this program, and you know, just more and more parents and school staff are becoming aware of the importance of emotional health. It's just becoming more of more awareness, I think, is happening culturally. There's some shifts going on, which is great, because really emotional health is such an important part of being human, and how it impacts our daily functioning is pretty huge. So, and especially with teens that are going through so much, you know, there's just so many stresses on teens these days. But yeah, our program is small, it's part-time, so we can only provide a certain amount of student screenings every year. But we're definitely open to donations and, you know, community support around it, so we can reach more schools and more students and help prevent, all sorts of things, you know, future mental health issues and even ultimately suicide, because we are a suicide prevention program in essence.
Well, with just a handful of people working the program, how do you get to all the students? What percentage of students? I know that a lot of them agree, but how many actually come in for the test, and how do you handle them all? It's got to be a lot of students in all these schools.
Yeah, it's a lot of students, but, you know, we can only do what we can do. You know, we have a capacity. You know, last year we screened 366 students. And we had 100 students participate in our groups, because we have those in-school groups that are there to help support emotional health of students. You know, we do the mindfulness groups and expressive arts groups. So, you know, there's only so much we can do, but we're starting to grow, and we're getting more support from school districts and schools. And so, we're doing our best with the need that's out there.
Tell me a little bit more about these in-school groups. Once somebody does a screening, then they have the option of joining a group that gets together in the evening, or how's that work?
No, it's actually during the school day. So it happens during school. And so students can participate or not. It's really up to them. Like, we offer it to them if it looks like they could use some more support and they're open to it. So the groups are really kind of stress reduction groups. And that's really our focus, is more prevention, students learning skills, how to cope with stress and different issues that can come up in their lives, and give them, you know, skills and tools in order to help deal with life and the challenges of being a teen.
Now, I know the tests started around ninth grade, but do many of these children, or I'd like to say young adults, really, that's probably the better way to say it, do they stay in a program? Can they stay in a program for 4 years, or go to a group for all 4 years?
Sure. And actually, the groups, we have some great student assistance programs at both the Nevada Joint Union High School District and Tahoe Truckee High School Districts that our groups are kind of coordinated through. So those student assistance programs provide groups, and we're one of the providers of those groups, and they also provide counseling, and those services are available to students all through their high school career.
Now, you said you served 366 students last year. Did you actually have to turn some away?
No.
We did our very best to reach every student that we had a parent consent form for, and you know, we've been able to accommodate the need so far, but the need is growing, and the awareness, like I said before, the awareness is growing. I think that, you know, school staff and parents are becoming more aware of how important emotional health is, and it's becoming less stigmatized, which is great. I think mental health issues are becoming less stigmatized, and just more, you know, it's just part of your overall health is how you feel, and, you know, your emotions and your stress and stuff is extremely important for your overall health. to help deal with that.
So they can actually join one of these groups, and then do they miss class to go to one of these things? Do they go after school or during a break or recess?
It's during the school day. It really depends on the school. We vary which period they're in, and so that way they don't miss more than one class, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. at a time in a group series. And the groups are usually just 6 to 8 weeks. So,
mm-hmm. Do you run into glaring examples of kids that are really at risk or under severe stress, and how do you identify them, and how do you address somebody that you might think is, you know, in the more critical stages of acting out, or however you want to deem it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had some crisis situations. It's pretty rare, but it does happen, where there is a student that is actively suicidal, that's had thoughts of suicide and even has attempted and is planning to attempt. Mm. So we will get that student help right away. We go into our crisis protocol, and we get them connected to services and keep them safe right away. So, you know, that means connecting them to a therapist, or maybe they need to go to the hospital and be in a 5150 situation. So that's on the extreme end. Then, you know, we have students that come in that are seemingly look really successful in high school. They, mm-hmm. you know, they're involved in sports and they're getting straight A's, but then they're under a ton of stress. And no one actually knows about that. Like, mm-hmm. they just haven't been able to talk to anyone about that or have felt safe enough, and they'll open up. And so we also will then talk to them about, connecting them to some support and getting them into therapy, or some other kind of support that really makes sense for them and really fits for their situation.
We're speaking to Shelley Sepko, Program Director, and Jen Ree Winders of the Community Resource Coordinator of the What's Up Wellness Checkups, teen checkups that are initiated right around ninth grade to identify and assist teens at risk. My name's Mark Cuniverti, listening to another edition of Money Matters, edition 258, called the Wellness, What's Up Wellness Checkups. So if students can stay, and caller, I do see you, we'll get to you in just a second. If students can stay throughout the program, do some come in and say, yeah, you know, I was had great help, but you guys helped me out, and then leave the program and are straight on their own, or do they always continually need to be handheld? I guess it's a variety of both.
Well, the program itself is really a one-time meeting with the students. We do the screen, we meet with them, and we get a sense of what they need, and then the follow-up is with the parents and the teens. But what we're really trying to do at that point is connect them with some sort of support. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that could be a mentoring program, that could be a group, that could be counseling, that could be a church group, whatever it is. So then at that point, it's kind of in the hands of the family and the teen to continue those services.
Okay. Caller, you're live on the air with Shelley and Jen. You there, caller?
Yes, I'm here. This is Doug.
Hi, Doug. What question would you like to ask?
Well, one of the things that occurs to me, I'm a retired teacher, is that if you have kids in school, some of them are going to do very well academically. They may come from families where they reading and all that sort of thing is well stressed. And then you have other kids that may come from homes that are broken, where they may even be in group homes, they may even be homeless. And so they don't do so well in the regular academic courses. And I was wondering, how much emphasis do they put on the fact that while college is our most touted way to be successful, i.e. get a lot of money together, there are other routes, including HVAC, electrician, plumbing, automotive, etc. And is there an emphasis on getting kids that aren't doing well, particularly in reading and math, to go into those areas?
More of a job direction sort of counseling? Is that what you're
thinking? Yeah, in other words, mm-hmm. I would think that the first thing that one would want to do with a suicidal student would be to figure out or demonstrate to them a path that they could achieve, instead of, you know, simply saying, there, it's all going to be better. No, give them an actual path where they can be successful. They can see other people in the community that have done well following that path, et cetera. So I would think that would be a very important part of doing this kind of counseling.
Sort of a pragmatic sort of solution, I guess Doug is asking, is that, maybe some of it is akin to the fact that he may not be able to go to Wall Street or be a mathematician. So do you find kids that need more, things to do hands-on?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, Doug. Thank you. That really is actually kind of a critical issue in our high schools these days that I think is starting to get addressed. So, some of our schools, such as Silver Springs, which is our continuation high school, they're making some attempts to secure funding in order to bring in some of these mentors who are in, real practical, job-based, skill-based areas to talk to kids and show them that there's other ways, other paths. Because a lot of the pressure, like you're saying, is on the success that's sort of, not always mm-hmm. realistic mm-hmm. for yeah. a lot of us, and particularly in these days and in this economy. So, yes, we absolutely support that, and we'll try to connect a student to whatever sort of mentoring or services they can get, mm-hmm. or maybe even a different high school if yeah. it comes down to that.
Does that answer your question, Doug?
Yes, thank you much, Mike.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right.
We're speaking to Shelley Sepko and Jen Rewinders of the What's Up Wellness Checkups. And, of course, you're welcome to call 530-265-9555. If you're hearing the show at a different date, of course, won't be able to take phone calls. But the national organization, I assume it's national or in multi-states? Or is it just here?
It's just here. It's just localized. The program that we are built off of, that we are modeled off of, Teen Screen, which was started under Columbia, is now under Stanford. And there's still a few of us left in the country. So mm-hmm. Marin County is hopefully still facilitating the program along with us. But in California, it's just the two of us.
So if somebody was hearing the show, let's say in Peoria, Illinois, and they weren't... thought maybe their teen was at risk and really didn't know where to go for whatever reason. Is Teen Screen still around?
It is, and they can look it up. It's through Stanford, though, at this point.
Okay, so. All right. So what sort of statistics do you see? I would imagine we'll get to how personally rewarding it is. I'm sure you've got a lot to say about that. But tell us a little bit about the statistics about what you've found, if that's even quantifiable.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I mean, I can't say so far. Like I said earlier, this is our sixth year that we've been in the high schools providing this suicide prevention program. And we have so far screened 1,343 students. Mm. So, and out of those students, we have connected 320 students with services. So that means that we've connected them to some resource. We've made a referral. We've talked to the parents. We've supported the family in some way in order to connect to that resource and then have provided follow-up to make sure that a connection was made.
So you're basically you're a conduit to direct them to whatever public services are out there without having to first go there where they say, sorry, you're in the wrong office, you got to go here, you got to go here. You're basically mm-hmm. the initial screening point, right?
Right, uncovering issues that may not have been uncovered yet.
Okay. How did you, I'm kind of curious, how do you do, who developed the 100-question test? Maybe I should take it.
That was actually,
we all should.
We would love an adult version.
Have you taken the test?
We have taken
the test. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And how'd you score? No, I'm just kidding. But who developed the test?
It was Columbia University. Okay. So they, I think it was the psychiatry department of Columbia, the child psychiatry mm-hmm. department in Columbia University. And it's an excellent program. I think it, just in my own experience of providing the checkups to students, it seems to me like it really does, it really does make sense. And, like the students really respond really well to the questions and also mm-hmm. to the process of screening. At first when I first started this, I was like, oh my gosh, how are teens going to actually open up to us? Because mm-hmm. notoriously teens are like adults, they don't want to open up to adults necessarily. But they really do open up quite a bit, and they talk to us, pretty openly about their struggles, and which to me is such an honor to be sitting there with a student who really is struggling, who hasn't maybe talked to another adult yet, mm-hmm. or they have a hard time maybe talking to their parents, like they don't want to worry their parents with what they're going through, and so they'll open up to us and ask for help. And so that, to me, just feels like a huge honor to be in that position with a teen who is really wanting some support. And then we know we have the means to offer that support or to get them connected, you know. So that's really our whole, you know, one of our main goals is really to help kids who are wanting help and needing help.
Yeah, and instead of having them reach out, I got to make a phone call. It's mm-hmm. you just appear in a way, mm-hmm. And then they can,
like, here we are.
Yeah, here you are. So, okay, so you refer them to whatever public services are out there. You don't actually retain under yours, except outside of the community groups that
right, exactly. Except for the groups that we offer.
Okay, mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the personal satisfaction that you get. I think that's. First of all, I think it's wonderful what you guys are doing. I mean, this is, you know, teen problems, teen suicide is a big issue. And so, yeah, tell them a little bit about what sort of satisfaction that gives you to do this.
Well, for me, this is Jen. I have suicide in my family, and so this was a really critical issue for me growing up. And then also I was on the Suicide Prevention Task Force in, 2010 when we first brought this idea to light. So I was part of that process of deciding which program we were going to bring in and really seeing the need for prevention programs in our community. So when I, you know, when we see kids who come in who just are starting to really see mental health as a normal thing that you would get a checkup on, it's just really nice to see that. The destigmatization in our high schools mm-hmm. is really happening. Mm-hmm. They celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month now with all different kinds of supportive activities. You know, there's lots of ways that it's shifting on a social and cultural level. Mm-hmm. So that for me is really rewarding.
Shelley?
Yeah, I think for me, I think back to my own high school days and my own struggles as a teen and how alone I felt. And I really didn't even have a sense that I could reach out to anyone. And at that point, I mean, this was back in the early 80s, you know, it just wasn't a part of the school culture, like, you know, student support services, you know, around mental health issues. And I really could have used help. Mm-hmm. And so to now be in the position to be that person for a teen just feels really good, because, you know, there are a lot of struggles going on with teens. And yes, some of it will pass, but maybe, you know, some of it is, you know, is deep and important to address now. So just to be in that position for me feels really rewarding.
Do you find it gender biased in any way? Do women have more issues, or you percentage wise, is it 50-50 or pretty much 50-50?
You know, I don't have this, just, you know, we haven't really gone through our screens mm-hmm. in that with that perspective, mm-hmm. but it seems to me, just offhand, you know, from my experience of doing this program, that it seems pretty, like, equal, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, there's different types of struggles, you know, that I think, you know, stereotypically, of course, you know, that boys face versus girls, but I think, you know, it's pretty across mm-hmm. the board. Would
yeah.
you
yeah.
agree
with
me,
Jen? I would agree, yeah.
And I would imagine that the topic of bullying comes in. I know that from reading the media, you know, throughout the years, I know that that can be a real real stressor on kids. So how much do you find is due to bullying or family, or is there a common thread there?
Man, it's really across the board. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just one thing or one angle. You know, I think you know, some kids that have great supportive families could also be struggling with bullying in schools, or, you know, or vice versa. I think it's, you know, there's just so many variations, you know, mm-hmm. with different individual teens, what's going on in their lives and the different pressures they're under, and their histories and what's going on in the school. What would you say, Jen?
Yeah, I mean, bullying definitely plays a part, but yeah, like Shelley said, it's just a wide range of peer, family, academic stressors that all kind of add up.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Shelley Sepko and Jen Rewinders of the What's Up Wellness Checkups, program aimed at teens that are under stress, possibly considering suicide. Now, if someone is listening to this program and they have a child that they may be concerned about, they can contact you directly, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their phone number, 530-268-5854, 530-268-5854. So I was made aware that your program has recently received a rather coveted award. So let us tell us about that.
Coveted, I like that. Yeah, so we won an award through California State Association of Counties, the 2017 Challenge Awards. We were awarded a merit award. And so basically this association gives awards to innovative county programs. Mm-hmm. So we did win a merit award, and we'll be presented the award actually at an upcoming Board of Supervisors meeting. We don't have a date yet, but yeah, so we'll be CSAC, which is the name of the association, California State Association of Counties, will come and give us this award.
Well, that must be nice to be recognized on a broader scale. You know, that program is getting out there, and I would imagine does anybody ever contact you about saying you got a good program there, you got a pilot program there, or can you help us establish one? Do you ever have other entities reach out to you?
You know, we haven't as of yet, but we are absolutely open and prepared to mm-hmm. support any county and or community in starting up this type of program. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of training materials and just experience in general on how to make it effective.
Mm-hmm. So a teen screen is kind of not really in the forefront anymore. You don't really run into that program much. Any thoughts of ever going national, or does that just happen by osmosis?
Huh? I said corporate.
Corporate.
You know, I feel like this program is so effective, and I think the more people who do it, the better. The more counties or schools that provide this program, the better. I feel like it's just super effective in preventing, you know, mental health issues and suicide. So I'm hoping that, you know, more and more schools and programs will pick up the program. I mean, like Jen was just saying, you know, we can train communities and schools to implement the program in their schools, and you know, we're able to do that.
Okay. Well, again, I think the program is wonderful. Suicide does run in my family as well, so it was kind of a subject that's close to my heart. So, before I let you go, anything you would like to add to the listeners out there, or even the teens that may be listening?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, just to know that there is support out there, and we're one of those avenues for support. If a parent wants to have their teen screened, they can actually download a consent form from our website. So at whatsupwellness.com, mm-hmm. and it says get screened, and then you can bring that in, either mail it to us or bring it to the school counselor. Or a teen can take the initiative as well to do that and then get their parents to sign it.
Which you'll take any teen. Doesn't have to be in a public school.
Yeah, any teen. We can screen any teen. We're happy to do that. And any grade. So even though we outreach to ninth graders, we're open to screening anybody of any grade if they request it. And then the other piece is we have a community support dinner night for What's Up Wellness Checkups at Mateo's.
Oh, great. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it'll be held on Wednesday, October 25th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Mateo's in Nevada City. So we'd love to see you there.
Okay, and who do they call for that? Is it a ticket-based thing?
No, it's not a ticket-based. You just show up and eat. And
you're going to get a lot of people now that you just said that. Give us that date again.
So that's Wednesday, October 25th from 5 mm-hmm. to 9 p.m.
And besides the meal, what are you looking for as far as just community awareness or more support?
Probably some community awareness, support. You know, obviously we're always open to donation support. And yeah, reservations are recommended, however. Okay. So you'd want to call Mateo's ahead of time.
Okay. Do they call Mateo's?
They call Mateo's.
Okay. And tell them that they're registering for the...
Community support fundraiser dinner night for What's Up Wellness Checkups.
Okay. And Shelley, you want to add something before I let you go?
I just want to say there's hope. You know, there is hope. And I think sometimes it can be really hard as a teen just getting through life. And but we really, you know, I just want to put it out there for anyone of any age, really, that there is hope. And there is help out there and resources available for you if you want it.
Okay, good. And your contact information, your phone number and website, one more time, please.
Sure. Our phone number is 530-268-5854. And our website is www.whatsupwellness.com.
We've been speaking to Shelley Sepko, Program Director of What's Up Wellness Checkups, and Jen Rewinders, Community Resource Coordinator. Ladies, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Mark, so much. Okay. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Money Matters, edition 258. My name's Mark Cuniberti. We'll be right back to wrap up the show. Concludes the 258th edition of Money Matters, entitled What's Up Teen Wellness Checkups for Suicide Prevention and Addressing Other Teen Issues. Starting in the